tell me in the reference language. The lady over there, madam over here, you know what I mean? So perhaps that will serve the people. Mrs. Temba, do you mind to be the first to introduce yourself, please?
Thank you, Chair. You are saying I'm Mrs. Temba from Mpumalanga. Priscilla Temba representing Mpumalanga and the NCOP, a member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Sheree Chen, presenting.
Good morning, my name is Mzukisi Kobo from the DTI, and I'm leading this delegation. Thanks.
Morning, everyone. I'm Kenkeletsi Mashuko, Deputy Director of Europe Regional Organization, DTI.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Sandy Lekini. I'm the Director for Europe Trade Relations at the DTI. I'm particularly in charge of trade relations with the European Union from the DTI.
Good morning. My name is Alko Nyanzi. I'm from the Committee for Inner Affairs Committee Center. Thank you.
Can you get to know the ladies at the back?
I'm Nicole Pillay from PMD.
Jules Bia, Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Without wasting of any time, ladies and gentlemen,
can we invite the department to take the stage? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity that you've afforded us to come and present before the committee. The meeting today is intended at giving a presentation as well as seeking approval for the additional protocol to the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement between South Africa and the EU. In particular with reference to the two members, Bulgaria and Romania. So we are going to be giving a presentation on this additional protocol to demonstrate the kind of benefits that we can draw from this additional protocol for accession, as well as the implication that it has for the countries that are acceding. My colleagues who are here with me will in turn present on various aspects of the protocol. I will hand over to them to give the presentation. But just to say that we have already gone through similar processes before, following the protocol for bringing this additional protocol to the select committee. I will hand over to Sandy Lekini, who is the director for the Europe organization. Thanks.
Thank you, members. As the chair said, this is about the protocol, additional protocol with the CDCE. I think the first thing is better that I start with the background as to where the CDCE is coming from. Members might be aware that in 1994, when we joined the international community, after being isolated for many years, South Africa sought to formally integrate in the global economic world. We had been for many years isolated because of sanctions. The country had also created policies which were there to protect internal industry. We had what was called at that time import substitution industrialization program, which basically cushioned the industry in the manufacturing and the other sectors of the economy from competition from the global economy. The result of that is we had a manufacturing industry which was producing mainly for select few in the economy, and it was not expanding because the market was limited. So in 1994, the government decided that they want to invest in the global economy so that they can expand the market opportunities for South Africa. And the first region or country that was willing to entertain South Africa's integration into the global economy was the European Union. And at that time, the European Union had a special relationship with the ACP countries, mainly African, Caribbean, and the Pacific countries, mainly developing countries. And they were providing them, so far as trade, duty-free and quota-free access into their economy because they were poor European countries. When South Africa joined the global community, we also sought to get the same status as these countries. But unfortunately, at that time, the European Union decided that, look, you, South Africa, you're not on the same level as these countries. You are too developed. And therefore, if we provide you with this opportunity, some of our industries may suffer as a result of your competition from the economy. So they offered to rather instead to negotiate what is called the TTCA, which is the Trade Development and the Cooperation Agreement with South Africa, which asks for some reciprocity insofar as trade is concerned. That is, for them opening up their market, we had also to somehow open our market to the European Union. So that is why we ended up having a separate trading arrangement with the EU compared to our member states in the Southern region as well as in the Southern African Customs Union. So this is where the TTCA came from. And as this is shown in the presentation, in the slide, it was signed on 11 October 1999 after 4 years of negotiation. Negotiations started in 1996 and they were concluded on the 11th of October. And then it was applied provisionally on the 1st of January 2000, subject to ratification by members of the European Union. Parliament of South Africa ratified it in November 1999, and the agreement entered into force fully on the 1st of May 2004, after the last member of the European Union, Luxembourg, ratified the agreement. And this entry into force of the agreement coincided with the expansion of the European Union, when 10 members from Central Europe and Eastern Europe joined the EU. And then, the TTCA itself basically governs our trade relations with the EU. And it provides for the establishment of a free trade area between South Africa and the EU over a transitional period of 12 years. Now, these are the features of the agreement. I'm talking in particular about the trade chapter, the trade component, the free trade area. This agreement provides for asymmetry, both in terms of timing as well as in content. By that, I mean the EU will liberalize 95%, that is more, of products of imports from South Africa over a period of 10 years, whereas South Africa is required to liberalize less products, that is 6% of all imports from the EU, over a longer period of 12 years rather than the 10 years that the EU is provided for. And the EU has also granted South Africa tariff quotas for agricultural products, mainly cut flowers, canned fruit, fruit juices, dairy, and wine. And there are also some agricultural safeguard clauses within the agreement, which basically says that if we find that the EU is flooding our market with their products, and that it's actually harming our agricultural sector, we've got a safeguard where we can put some measures to block those products that are flooding our market. So that's basically what this says. And this is catered for in Article 17 of the TTCA. And there are also rules of origin which prevent trade deflection. That is, we have to make sure that products are coming from the EU. So rules of origin are there to make sure that we ensure that we only allow products on preferential basis which are coming mainly from the EU. And this agreement is WTO compatible. That is, it is compatible with the World Trade Organization rules in that more than 90% of the trade in South Africa is covered by this preferential trade arrangement. And the agreement also provides for protection of some sectors which are sensitive, and these are through some reserve lists. I think I can just skip that one, but it's covered in this one. The objective of the TTCA basically is to cement South Africa's trade relations with the EU by providing certainty for economic operators. Basically, what I'm trying to say is it's ensuring that operators know for sure what the rules are for trading with the EU. They know that if the duties are zero, they will remain zero indefinitely. And that also applies for importers. If you want to import products from the EU, you know that they will be at zero forever. So that makes it possible for you to plan long-term and to invest long-term without having to worry about changing all these rules insofar as trading with the EU. And this agreement also provides for market access for exporters on both sides. Of course, for South Africa, at the time that we entered into the agreement, it meant that we now have access to a larger market of 15 members of the EU, which are rich countries. And it also ensures that we as a country, we can import products at better quality products, at perhaps lower prices that were not readily available at that time. As you know, we were isolated for some time before. It also encourages South Africa's gradual integration in the global economy. By that I mean, because if you were to integrate with the EU is very the economy which is very high standard, and then it means if you can cope into competing and engaging with the EU, it means that we can deal with any other economy, developed economy in the world. So the EU provided us an opportunity to integrate in the global economy. And then, of course, this agreement is supposed also to promote the development of the South African economy by providing us access to technology and investment from the developed countries, the region. The scope of the agreement, basically, this is what does it cover? The agreement covers trading arrangements, which covers 90% of trade between the South Africa and the EU. It's made of three of about four components. We've got cooperation in the area of development and financial support. There is also economic cooperation, and then there is also political dialogue that covers areas like human rights, democracy, and peace in the global world. The agreement is open-ended in that it has no time frame. By that I mean it is indefinite. There is no end date by which it will end. It is also comprehensive in that it covers more than just trade. As I said, it covers political dialogue, financial support and development cooperation, and of course political dialogue. And I've said earlier, it is asymmetric in that South Africa, because we're less developed than the EU, we liberalize and open our economy slower than the EU. And then they do it faster, they cover a wider coverage. And then as I said, where we have sensitive products, we have protected those products from tariff takedown. The example for South Africa is the automotive industry, where we did not include them at the beginning as part of the tariff phase down. We were able to negotiate a better deal later, after we had not liberalized this area. And there is also, as I've said, the reserve list of sensitive products which are not covered by tariff reduction. And then, of course, from time to time, we do review the situation to see whether or not they are still sensitive. I think I've touched on this. I can just skip some of the areas. I think here what's important to note is that this agreement is implemented by the Customs and Excise Division of the Export and Revenue Services. And they also administer the quota. This just gives you a sense of how the EU has grown over the years. It started in 1958 as a grouping of about six countries, and then it has over time grown to the current 27 member states that it has today. And these are just the various levels, points at which enlargement happened. And this is just a process by which the EU expands and which provides for this expansion. I don't have to go into it. It's not that important. And basically, these are the members of the EU that entered into the TDC in South Africa in 1999 when we signed this agreement. So these are the original 15 members when we entered into the EU, SAEU TDC. As I've mentioned earlier, in 2004, 10 Central and Eastern European countries joined the EU, and the list is there. It was the Czech Republic, Cyprus, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Poland, Slovenia, and Slovakia. And then Again, last year, beginning of last year, two other European countries joined the EU. They were called Bulgaria and Romania. And as it is normally the case, whenever we're acceding or entering a trade agreement with a new country, we would have a process of assessing the potential impact of this accession or free trade agreement to our economy and industry. What we did, we consulted with the NetLec with the view of getting industry to make input to tell us whether or not they've got any concerns about trading with this economy. And then the response was that they don't have any particular problem, and that if we want to go ahead, we can go ahead and do the settlement with them. The follow-up process was the president giving approval for minister to sign the agreement, and this was done on the 25th of July, and eventually this protocol was signed last year on the 10th of October during the South Africa EU ministerial meeting, which was held in Pretoria. And this protocol has also been presented to the International Relations Peace and Security Cluster of Cabinet on 6th March, and it was later approved by Cabinet on the 19th of March. And it was also tabled in Parliament on the 25th of March. And as my Chief Director said earlier, before we came to the National Council of Provinces, this house, we had been to the National Assembly Portfolio Committee for Trade and Industry, which has subsequently approved this protocol, and that is why now we are coming to the CELAC committee. And this enlargement protocol, basically, it creates a legal basis for us to extend the GTCA to Bulgaria, because when countries join the EU, they have to forfeit and denounce all trade agreements that they have with third countries, and they have to adopt whatever policies the EU has. So, but then on the EU side, that is automatic. But on our side, the country that has got an agreement, we have to create a legal mechanism for them to be part of this trade agreement. And this protocol actually provides for that. I think this is just the internal EU process. It basically says the Bulgaria and Romania have to adapt to EU domestic policy. And of course, adopt all the EU common commercial fraud policies, and it also means that they have to apply all EU bilateral trade agreements. And of course, at WTO they will be represented by the European Commission. They can no longer be negotiating their own agreements. And then, of course, because they acceded to an existing agreement, it means that they don't have to ratify the TTCA, so they can only just accept it as it is. And this just gives a picture of South Africa's trade bilateral trade flows with Bulgaria. We are coming from the year 2000. Insofar as imports, as exports, you can see they moved from 30 million in 2000 to 113 million in 2006. Imports also increased from 16 million in 2000. To a current level of 70,000 in 2006. If you look at the trade balance, we can see it's actually fluctuating. There are times when it's positive in favor of South Africa, and then there are times when it's negative. But the last figure that we have there, it shows that South Africa has an advantage in that we have a trade surplus with Bulgaria. This is just an analysis. This is what I just said now. And you can see trade between South Africa and the Bulgaria has doubled over the years. And I think I've touched on that. But I think what's important is that South Africa's main export products are minerals, fruits, nuts, wool, and sugar. And then we import from Bulgaria nuclear reactors, inorganic chemicals, electrical machinery, and chemical products. And then with Romania, again, you can see trade is fluctuating. It's not having any particular pattern. It moved from 109 million in 2000, and you can see by 2006 it's gone down to 88. But if you look at imports on the other side, they've been increasing consistently from 32 million in 2000 to 139 in 2006. And then again, you can see that over time, we've been experiencing some trade surplus, but recently this has turned and that we have been experiencing deficits in our trade relations with Romania. Again, I think what's important to pick up here is that our main export products from to Romania are ores, iron and steel, electrical and machinery and chemicals. And then we import also in a similar way with the Bulgaria nuclear reactors, electrical machinery, iron and steel, and articles of apparel and clothing. I think basically what this shows is that these countries have to apply the EU's external tariff, and that of course South Africa has to extend the TDCA to them. I think this shows basically how this agreement is administered. It is administered by SARS, which is the customs and excise unit of it, and that for a product to qualify to get these benefits from the EU, it must be accompanied by this EU R1 form, which you can get from SARS, and then of course in return, for us to know that this product is coming from the EU, it must also be accompanied by a LIMNA form. And I think members might want to know as to what exactly has been the effect of the TDCA on our economy. What we are saying here is, at this stage, it's still not very clear. We're not able to, at this stage, give a direct causal link to say that this trade that's growing between South Africa and the EU is only because of the TDCA. But it's important to know that it has been increasing very tremendously over the years. But besides the trade that there are many other factors, I'm saying that because the TDCA is backloaded in that tariff phase down happens almost towards the end of this phase down period. That is, by 2010, we'll be seeing more opening up on the EU compared to say earlier at the time the agreement came to force. At the same time, South Africa will open up to the EU more rapidly, almost closer to 2012 than perhaps now. So the actual effect will be felt quite later in terms of the phase down period. Basically, I think for us, all we know that when we enter into agreements, we understand that it should actually open up opportunities for our exporters, in that we'll be facing a lower tariff in the external market, and that in turn we'll also be getting products at a cheaper product prices, and perhaps also maybe getting better quality products. And they can also help you with our industrialization product process, because as an economy, we depend mostly on importing capital goods and the imports from developed countries, and that helps us with our processes of industrialization. But what we will be doing as a department, we will be continually monitoring the phase and period to see whether, as we are liberalizing quicker, there are any particular shifts, both in terms of the content and pattern of trade, as well as the level of flows. But we also need to be aware that this agreement will also provide some form of a challenge for our economy, because we'll be getting more competition from imports from this country. But I think what is important is that when we enter into a free trade agreement, the exporters or whoever is dealing with is operating the economy, they need to know about this agreement, and they need to actually make use of it. If they don't use it, then it will be one-sided. Only the other side will be making better use of it. So what we have done, actually, after the TDCA was signed in 2000, there was a roadshow countrywide where we went to various provinces and key areas where we presented this peace agreement, and we told people about the benefits. Again, in 2004, when the 10 members of the EU joined, we did the same thing with the national roadshow. We went to various provinces and presented this opportunity with the hope that exporters would take advantage of them. And then we also hope to do the same thing this year after this kind of accident. But this time around, we'll be doing it in conjunction with exposing also the fact that beginning of May this year, our agreement between SACU and the European Free Trade Area, namely EFTA, also came into force. So I think we will, as a package, also present this to various provinces so that operators know about this agreement. I think this is a process I talked about earlier, the consultation that has taken place prior to us signing this agreement. We went to NEDLAC. we established that there are no sensitive areas insofar as trading with Bulgaria and Romania. And also we consulted with the various divisions within the GTI, we consulted with Foreign Affairs, we also went to Justice to check whether or not this agreement or this protocol would be in line with our constitution and domestic law. And of course, we check with SARS whether they can apply it to the state. So that is the process that took place as a way of consultation. I think I've touched on this in terms of positive. I think what's important here is that SARS will apply this agreement retrospectively. Because this country, Romania and Bulgaria, joined the EU in January last year, we were only able to sign it with the EU in October. And in South Africa, we have not yet been able to apply it because it needs to be ratified by Parliament, hence we are here. So as soon as this agreement is ratified, then we'll be able to apply it retrospectively. This means that those exporters have started exporting to the EU, to the two member states, under normal duties, will be reimbursed whatever extra duties that they have paid over and above the TDCA preferential duty. So they have been asked to keep copies of all their consignments so that we can identify how much we owe them. And as it is shown there, this TDCA is a very ambitious agreement. Actually, it is the only agreement that South Africa has, a free trade agreement that we have with a third country outside the African continent. Even in Africa, we only have with SACU, and the one with SADC, it has yet to be fully enforced. So I think this is a very, very significant agreement for South Africa. And as it is said there, actually, we only know really the benefits, key benefits or impact after 2012, once it is fully opened up. Thank you, members, and we will at least use any questions that members might have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kini, am I right? Kini. Oh, thank you, sorry. So I'm not the only one. Perhaps before we get to questions, there are some few things. I saw one member coming in and the other colleagues of ours. Perhaps we better know who they are, then we'll get to today's business.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kungu Tungoswandi. I'm representing Free State. Thank you.
Thank you. At the back, I think I see we have got about three colleagues who joined us later. Can you introduce yourselves, please? We'll start there. Thank you very much. Can I see the hands if members have issues to raise? I see Honorable Temba. I see Honorable Ntembe. For the time being, let's get our turns in that order. Thank you. Honorable Temba, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Mr. For the presentation. I'm really happy, Chairperson, that to hear that the department will be going to provinces to inform provinces about this trade agreement, because usually we do pass agreements here in Parliament, and you find that provinces are not actually aware of the protocols, agreements, conventions that we pass here. And I'm really happy about that. And what I want to know on that is, who in the province are you going to be working with, and what method of information, how are you going to inform the provinces? And then also you are saying you'll be having a useful exercise that you continue to monitor the change in trade. I think it's, I don't know which slide it is because they are not numbered, but if maybe you can elaborate on that, a useful exercise would therefore be to continue monitoring the change in trade flows and patterns over time to make a coincidence. If you can maybe elaborate on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the measures to protect flooding our market. I would like to know that, I know the cause, I'm sure, is there, how it is going to be done, but if we can just hear, if they start flooding our market, what exactly are we going to do to stop them? And if it is not going to protect us, is it going to have any negative effect on maybe the country which over flooding us? And will they then have, according to the member states, will they then have other markets to take their products to when they over flood us and we don't accept that anymore? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mutembe. Perhaps I need to make a request to the department. Excuse me. Because as we discuss this enlargement protocol, specific issues concerning the very EU agreement we as a country have come up, and especially some of the ones that have been hinted at here. For instance, when you started, you indicated that when we became democratic in 1994, already the EU and the ACP countries had agreements of their own. And when we wanted to enter into that agreement, they said, but then, because they view us as a little more developed and in a way a competitor to them, do I make sense?
Yes.
They felt, rather than throwing our weight behind the whole of the ACP provisions of the agreement, they better have a separate one with us alone. Am I right? Now, my first question is, one, does it then mean the ACP countries went into this agreement as a collective entity the way the EU is, or they too went in one by one the way we are doing, but being bound by more or less one and the same provisions of the agreement? Point number two, if let's assume they did go there as a collective, like the EU itself is. What it is that they do to them as per agreement they have with them, which they don't do to us because we don't have similar agreement. Did you get my point? I don't know how to put it. Look, I might be a little speculative. You see, I take it that if they, for instance, say, ACP countries, before you bring your goods to us, just give a scenario, before you bring your goods to us, we want you to inform us about your goods containing A, B, C, D, and the left. Right? So, with South Africa, they may have such a provision, but the specifics of which might be different. Is what it is that they do for the ACP countries as per the agreement, which they don't do to us because our agreement with them is different from the one they have with the ACP countries. Do I make sense to you? Thank you. And then, in that context that we have the agreement with the EU alone outside the ACP, how then does the agreement we have with the EU affect the possible trade we have with members of the ACP, which have in turn an agreement with the EU? Now, in case of disputes and disagreements, I mean this time between us, South Africa, and the EU, who then adjudicates in case there is a need or a provision for that? Who adjudicates? Point number four, you know, when we were briefed a little earlier by the DTI, I don't know, you might have been there, I was very much worried about what happened around our chief, and even now, that is why I'm giving the background. That question of the chief worried me so much. Now, when I asked the DTI colleagues to say, but then, when they said our chief should not go there, they give us, I don't know, I think it was about 3 months to sort our house before they could accept it. As far as I could follow the development, I don't remember us saying anything in terms of taking certain steps to them as well. Now, when I asked the colleagues in the DTI, they said, we as a country don't have, I don't know if I might not have them have heard them properly, we don't have standardization institutions. I may not have got the word that standardized, yeah, but standardized something was there. Now, which then means this time we are alone in that agreement with the EU. We are, let's assume one, I mean, similar thing happens, right? And no, this something may not be cheese, something happens. Now, they say, right, sort your house out in as far as your beef, just for example, your beef is concerned, we'll give you 6 months. Is it likely that we're going to behave the same way we did with cheese, or this time things might be different? In other words, do we have any way to appeal? It goes back to that adjudication thing, but in a different way. The last one. There is somewhere here, I don't remember what page it was. There is an indication that in the tariff reduction phase, the government over time will forfeit revenue collected from import trade. Now, according to this agreement, the one we're having with the EU, is there anything that we can say actually or by implication compensate for that loss of revenue, or it is just as open as it is? Thank you very much. Honorable Mukono.
No, thank you, Chair. I'll just be brief. I have no problem with this protocol. I think it should go ahead. But just one clarity. How concrete is this arrangement between us and the EU? Are we operating here on an equal relationship? Do they take us seriously? Because I feel that if you have a relationship with somebody, then you move along on the same understanding. I hear the background that we joined them later, and of course they took us better off than other countries. That's subject for debate, but not now. I'm raising this question, sir, because if you go to WTO, you get a sense that, yeah, you have opposing parties. You have EU on that side, and you have African countries on this side, and in particular, you have South Africa. Because they even accuse us at some stage that we are positioning ourselves as being champions of African countries. And yet, we're not supposed to be taking that position because we are well developed. According to them, we are well developed. Now, I don't know whether this is for convenience purposes, that it must come up when there are forums like that or what. So that's why I'm a bit concerned about this relationship between us and them. Do they take us seriously? Because sometimes they feel that they can help other countries in Africa, but not South Africa, because South Africa is well off.
Over to the department, thank you.
I must say that I've also got other activities for this meeting, so when I don't know something, they can tell me. But I'll do my best to try to answer the question.
The first question was who are our partners who we work with in the provinces. Traditionally, we have been working with the provincial agencies for promotion of trade and investment. In the Western Cape, we've got WebGro. I think there used to be in the Northwest, there is an agency, KZN, there is Eastern Cape, there is the ECTC, and so on. So normally we work with existing agencies, but where there is no strong agencies, normally we work with the chambers, the relevant chambers in the various provinces. But as I say, there are provincial agencies that we work with. In certain cases where there is no agency that's functioning, and then we would work with the provincial government, basically the economic affairs. Sorry, what was the second question, madam? You asked about the monitoring pattern of trade. You wanted to know what that means. You asked us who our partner is.
Saying if you can elaborate more on the monitoring part of it.
What we do as a department, particularly the division that I'm part of, if I'm working on relations with the EU, it is my duty to monitoring what's happening in our trade and economic relations, and I'm forever compiling briefings for both ministers, and I have answer questions from the parliament and from the media. So I forever monitor what's happening in terms of our trade, whether our trade is the composition of products is changing. Are we continuing to export minerals only, or are we starting to produce manufactured products and so on? So that is what I'm saying. I'm forever looking at the data as it is captured by our customs and excise unit at TSR, and using that as information for pushing documents, as well as for analysis and providing information for our podcast principals and the public whenever they want it. So that is how we do it. We are forever providing, doing this analysis. And also, I think it needs to be known that as soon as this protocol is ratified, SARS will publish this in the Gazette, and we will also put a note in the newspaper to say that it has now come into force. So there are various other ways in which we will provide information about the routine existence of this agreement, other than just going on workshops countrywide. I think the other question was what are the measures for protecting our market, and will the countries be able to divert to other countries if we put these measures? Basically, what the agreement, generally, when you enter into a free trade agreement, you are opening up your opportunities into other markets. That is, you face less lower taxes in those markets on your product, so that they can get almost duty-free, quota-free. And you have to also reciprocate in your market, you also have to open up your market. And part of that would be to expose your manufacturers or your economic operators in your economy to competition from those countries, with the hope that you will, over time, also be able to adapt to the standards expected so that you can also compete on equal footing. The provision for safeguards is basically to deal with a situation where the other country is doing this on unfair basis, that they are flooding your market, let's say, because they are subsidizing their operators or their exporters, or because there may be something that's happening in that economy where they end up exporting a mass to your economy, such that it's almost felt that as a result of trading with this market, your industry is dying. Then we would have to put the safeguard measures, which actually raises our tariffs, will reverse actually the trade opening up that we've done in the past, such that they don't have to export an unfair terms than they did in the past. Because this is part of the agreement, and our ITEC, International Trade Administration Commission, are responsible for that. Whenever there is a surge of exports which are harming our industry, if you can prove that the harm in the industry is as a result of trade with this country, and that there are certain things that they are doing that causes harm, and then we will put in these measures that will block this export into our market. That is how we do it. And it is part of the agreement. Of course, there may be disputes here and there. Maybe the operators might go to court and so on, but it's basically the nature of a trading arrangement that we have with different countries. The other one was the ACP EU arrangement. Did ACP enter as a collective or as individual? And what does the EU do to ACP countries that they do not do for South Africa? My understanding, as I said, this arrangement has been there before South Africa entered the global economy. My understanding is that the EU had made an arrangement that since you are developing, to assist you, because ACP are mostly former colonies of Europe. So they, it's part of the EU, of Europe, trying to assist them to develop. They've got financial support that they give to these countries, donor finance, and then they actually say you can export products duty-free, quota-free into our economy as part of making sure that their industry develops and so on. So this is what they did to this, to these countries. What they did to South Africa, so it means that for them there's almost no restriction if they can meet the standards expected by the EU. But many a time you find that many of these countries, they don't meet standards. Their industries do not react and respond and grow their exports and so on. So it almost doesn't have much effect. But when they look at South Africa, they said, wow, here comes an economy that will definitely take advantage of this. They immediately decide, no. We can't give them exactly what they have because they fear that actually if we do that, if they open up to us, definitely we will make use of those opportunities. And then they say, no, we will give you less preferences than we are giving this economy. So that is what they did. Of course, as members might know, we are part of the customs union with the Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, and Namibia. And we were hoping that all trade agreements that we would be doing with the rest of the world would be doing it as a unit. But because of this condition that the EU put, it meant that we could not enter into this agreement with the EU as a customs union. They refused on their side. And also, although we were just joined SADC at that time, and we knew that SADC was entered, it was moving towards the free trade area after 2008, they also did not recognize that. They said, no, we still insist. Because our operators are still the fear as open operators, and therefore we will not give you this. So, Chair, basically what it means is that the other members have got a duty-free, quota-free access into the EU, whereas South Africa, for everything that they get for free in the EU, they must also pay in terms of reduced tariffs on our side. That is how it is. And how does the TTC impact on trade relations with the ACP? I think I've partly touched on that through answering about SACU and SADC. The members basically, they entered into this arrangement with the EU as a collective. They did not enter as individuals. The EU simply said, this is what we'll be giving to all these countries. Of course, each country had to come to the EU and say, this is our needs. But basically, it applies to all of them. It's just a regulation on the EU side that this is what we're giving you. Members might be aware that there is this thing called the Economic Partnership Agreement that the EU is negotiating with ACP countries currently, where South Africa is also joined. This is because other developing countries, which are not members of the ACP, have complained to the WTO to say, we are also developing countries. It is not fair for the EU to give preferences to these countries who are members of the WTO. They don't give to us. And therefore, we're preparing a dispute that this is not legal according to WTO rules. Eventually, the EU said, okay, that's fine, we agree. What we will do, we will negotiate a new trading arrangement called Economic Partnership Agreement, which will require of these countries to also reciprocate. That is, for the lower tariffs that we are giving them, they will also reduce their tariffs over time. That is what they are currently negotiating at the moment. So it means that also other members complained. It was not that they were unfairly treated. Others felt that they were unfairly treated. Insofar as the relation, as I say, the only impact or significant relationship is with the SADC and as well as with SACU. it has impacted negatively in that other countries complain that we have a serious, especially for SADC, for SACU. As you know, we've got an external tariff as a customs union. So it meant that products coming to the EU from the EU into SACU, even though they were not part of this agreement, and they had agreed with the EU that they would not lower their tariffs, they de facto had to lower their tariffs by virtue of being in a customs union in South Africa, because we administer this thing on their behalf. So it meant that from 2000, when we started facing down tariffs, the other SACU members, that is Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, and Namibia, had to also apply the same tariffs that we are applying to the EU. So it had that problem. Of course, we did complain that we did this, but we know the history, how it happened that we ended up doing this. And then on to settlement, which adjudicates, in the agreement, there is a clause for dispute settlement. It basically means that it's an arrangement that will be done between South Africa and the EU, where we would have an adjudication process. But of course, it's a process that will be engaged in. There will be negotiations that will be part of the panel, and they will actually end up presiding the panel. So it is in place, but we have not had to apply it in as part of our agreement. We have not get to a point. But we do have a monitoring mechanism called the Joint Cooperation Council, which is co-chaired by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of South Africa and the Commissioner for Development Development Aid within the EU, Michel at the moment. So annually there are meetings which are held where they look at the trade agreement and arrangement and all other relations, and monitor what's happening, and where there's a dispute. This is where, firstly, we start to try to negotiate, to try to resolve the issues. It will be only after we cannot resolve it there that it will go to a dispute settlement. As I say now, it has not got to that level. There was a mention of the cheese issue by the chair. I'm not very familiar with this issue, and it could be the Department of Agriculture. I'm not sure whether it was the GI. It might have been agriculture. But I do know that sometimes, particularly for agricultural products, there tends to be certain standards, what they call phytosanitary and sanitary standards, that we have to abide by. But I think that is accepted internationally in the WTO, that there are such standards. But what tends to happen is that on the EU side, they tend to forever revise their own standards as a European region. And then they pass regulations which tend to firm up standards over and above what has happened internationally. So it could be that this is something similar, and I know in the case of beef, South Africa is not able to export to the EU because we don't have this certification mechanism and actually able to that meet those standards.
As we are talking,
that is my understanding. I don't know what particular product we do export, maybe certain products, but it doesn't cover carcasses and stuff like that. I know Botswana, they do export, and Namibia, they do export. I'm sure they are assisted by the EU so that they are able to do it under the standards. But of course, it means that the Department of Agriculture, they have to put in place the necessary institutions and mechanisms for monitoring the particular standards that the EU is affecting. And thus far, it looks like they have not done it on their part. I think that is something you can verify with the Department of Agriculture. That's what I think it is. Whether they are with the revenue reduction, whether there will be compensation. Chair, I think the issue here is South Africa has a policy that tariffs at the border, we're not using them as part of a government budget. It's not there to collect revenue so that the government has got more money. It is there as a policy, as a trade policy tool to manage the trade relations with the particular country. And it is such that if we reduce the tariffs, it should not actually significantly impact on our revenue as an economy. And therefore, that is why what is important for us is whenever there is an agreement which has got a revenue impact, like the reduction of tariffs, we have to kind of parameter to let them know that this is what's happening, so that they can approve. But generally, the tariffs are not a revenue raising mechanism. It is merely a trade policy. So that if we decide we want to block trade from that country, we simply raise tariffs. It's a mechanism. Of course, we do collect the revenue. It's good to have it, but it's not really something that we depend on, basically, in the economy. That is my understanding. of the trade policy mechanism. So there will be no compensation for that. But of course, we do have some development finance that we get from the EU, which is the envy of other countries in the region, because the EU on their side, they are keen to assist with the deserving needs in the economy. They do support institutional development. They do support poverty alleviation projects and social development issues and so on. And that is that particular chapter, it's under the development chapter, is being managed by the Department of National Treasury at the moment. And then there was a question as to how concrete is this arrangement with the EU? Do they take us seriously? It's not very easy to answer, honorable member. But all I can say is we do have this forum called the Joint Cooperation Council, which sits at ministerial level. And there are subcommittees. There is a subcommittee on trade. We call it the Trade Cooperation Committee, subcommittee of the Joint Cooperation Council. We've got the Development Cooperation, and we've got the Political Dialogue. So far, things are happening at a very amicable level. There is a mutual respect when we interact. Whenever there are problems, we've been able to resolve them through this mechanism called the Joint Cooperation Council. So we have not had a problem. I would say at that level, I think we had some form of mutual respect. I think things came to a head when we started joining the Economic Partnership Agreement process as members of the SADC FRTPA group, where we felt that now the way things were conducted were not in a way that is respectful of the other parties. We felt that the big member, the big party to this whole thing, the EU, they were exercising vigorously their economic and political power to the advantage or to the disadvantage of the negotiation process. They were very tough and very pushy in many situations. And I think because many members of this region, they are dependent on financial cooperation from the EU. And there was a question of the deadline that last year, if they did not sign this EPA, the tariff, the duty-free quota-free access that they got from the EU, it would expire. It meant that their products would suddenly face overnight high duties. And they were compelled to actually accede to the demands of the EU. So those kind of power relations, they are playing themselves in the context of the EPA. Even in the TTC, it was not easy, but we managed to fight and stand our ground. We lost some battles, we won some. But where there's been overwhelming power, uneven power, it has been demonstrated in the context of the TTC. I'm saying this is a well documented. I'm not saying something new. It's over there in the press. If you can read in the internet, it's all there. That is the situation. We don't feel in the context of the EPA that we are not given the necessary respect that we need. Of course, you might know we've got what is called the strategic partnership arrangement as South Africa and the EU. As from this year, for the first time, there will be a summit level meeting between South Africa and the EU where we discuss all issues and all areas of cooperation. Of course, this APA agreement, because South Africa has refused, it's one country in SACU which has refused to initiate, we've been labeled as countries which want to hold the region for ransom, keeping them into perpetual poverty and so on. All sorts of things have happened, and it has not been nice. So it has almost threatened our relationship with the EU. So whenever we have these bilateral meetings at Joint Cooperation Council level and at summit level, we do try to raise this issue of the ETA and how things are happening. But of course, things are at a very polite political level at that level, so we can't really engage with them. So I think that is what I can say on this point for
now. Thank you very much. As you are talking about these deadlines and so on, I remember, I think the minister came to brief us about the history of all these agreements and the protocols and the treaties, all of them. Now, when she talked about these IPA things, she said there is a space somewhere within that agreement where they said, for instance, let me perhaps study it. You see, we do also have trade agreements with India, Brazil, China, and so on. She said there is one provision somewhere which says, I'm not quoting just the meaning, what you do to, let's say, India or Brazil or China, you do to us also. You see, that kind of an arrangement. Now, when I thought about it, I said, but what then does that mean? I mean, obviously, as Honorable Mukono asked, we can't be equal from the economic point of view. We can't. And Bona, they come as a club. And Tina was just alone. Tomorrow, if they say, your cheese, or so let me not use cheese now, your peanut butter. If they say your peanut butter is not good, hold on. They can tell now, they say, I just give an example. And Botswana say, bring you. You cannot, but you know what I'm talking about. So, in other words, we are in a situation where any move we take, we need to check both sides. How will it affect them, and what will our friends, in terms of SADC, SACU, as well as the very ACP, you know, is there a room for revision if we, all right, perhaps that can do.
Can I ask this, I think this is called this MFN clause, a most favored nation clause within the interim EPA. What it means is, if in this agreement, this interim EPA or this economic partnership agreement between SADC and the EU, we finish this agreement, we've got this term, this is how we're going to allow your product to the market. If South Africa, say, negotiates an agreement with India, then we give India better terms because maybe we've got a different relationship. We have to automatically extend that those preferences to the EU, although it is not negotiated. And if we do something with similar with India, or I mean with China or Brazil, because they've identified them, they say advanced developing countries, and you know who they are, we will automatically extend this to them. But that's, Chair, you might want to have a separate, separate briefing on this one, whether it's all topic on its own, which we can address in the context of this particular.
Okay, any other issue, Honorable Chen?
Please, if I understand wrong, just correct me, okay? Because I'm just trying to figure out on it. You know, if this is TDCA, we signed, this agreement was signed on the 1999, okay? So is the period which we're showing here, obviously EU, which they provide us 10 years, and we provide them 12 years. So is that counting from 1999?
From 2000.
From 2000? Okay, all right. So then, I mean, we've seen at the EU, you know, since 1958, they've been grow up, and, you know, for now up to 27th member. So is this agreement automatically applied to all the new joint members as well? And then, for example, those of this two new members which is recently joined, so are they agreements also expired at the time of 2012 or that? I just want to clarify on that. Okay. Then on your presentation on the page number 6 here, which we say reserve list here, the sensitive to the product, which, you know, we will review at a later stage. So what does it mean, the later stage? And how often do you review that, you know, for the tariff item like that? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Basically, this enlargement, what it means, as I said earlier, when we entered into the TDCA, the EU had 15 member states. It increased to 25 in 2004 and recently to 27. So what it means is that those countries which are the EU, they have to renounce and do away with all the trade agreements that they had on their side. Mm-hmm. And also, it also means that all third countries that have agreements with the EU have to extend those agreements to these member states. But of course, there is a process of consultation in the country. If we end up identifying a particular sensitivity, it means we can negotiate with the EU and have an arrangement where we either be compensated for the harm that particular product causes into our economy, or we can have some form of we can maybe reverse some of the tariffs and not execute it compared to the rest of the members. But that's why it has not happened. And if more members join, it also means that we will automatically extend it to them. But there is a process of negotiation first to identify whether or not that there will be any harm to our economy before that happens. I'm not sure if I answered your question on this particular point.
And the reviews of the entire...
The reviews, okay, my colleague can assist me here. Basically what it means, since we have this annual meeting under the context of the Joint Cooperation Council, we basically review our trading arrangements. And sometimes industry may be monitoring what's happening in the other economy. And if they see that this economy now, we see that they are becoming stronger, they can demand that, this country is exporting more to us. So why are they still being treated the way that they were treated in the past, as if they are sensitive? Like the example is the automotive industry, which was excluded in the beginning from tariff breakdown. But from 2006 onwards, they were saying, no. We are seeing more exports coming from South Africa in the automotive component sector, and therefore we believe that they are ready to face on their tariffs. So we started negotiations, which we concluded in 2006, where we agreed to speed up the tariff rate on some products, but up to a certain point. And they in turn also agreed to accelerate their tariff rate down. As far as by 2010, most of the automotive exports to the EU will be duty-free. So that is how we do it. From occasionally, we monitor each other's industry and see whether or not there is room for maybe taking those products out of the sensitive list and so on.
Thank you very much. Any other issue to raise?
None.
Thank you very much. The request has been put to us. What do we say? Do we ratify or would you like us to run down the pages? You say agreed, or we understand the context as it has been put to us? Honorable Mkhono?
I propose that it goes through and we all agree.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mkhono moved.
We all agree.
Should I read the motion of desirability, colleagues?
Yeah.
Oh, report. Oh, I get mixed up with some of this terminology. Select Committee on Economic and Foreign Affairs. Report of the Select Committee on Economic and Foreign Affairs on the Additional Protocol on the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement between the Republic of South Africa and the European Community and its member states, dated 11th June 2008. The Select Committee on Economic and Foreign Affairs, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Additional Protocol on the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement between the Republic of South Africa and the European Community and its member states, referred to it, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement.
Longly.
Is it okay?
Agreed.
Should I sign?
Sign
it's
now.
Young
as well, Peppa.
We are
morning.
Thank you very much. Can I at this stage request Honorable Mkhono to extend a vote of thanks to the department, PMG members, staff, and everybody who is with us here? Thank you, Honorable Mkhono.
Long live.
Yeah, that is baptism of fire. No, thank you, Chair. On behalf of the committee, we wish to thank the department and other members for having come before us and presented the protocol. We thank you very much and hoping to see you with other matters, such as the one that the
chairperson
has proposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Perhaps before the department comes in, can I request members to remain for at the most 4 minutes?
Okay.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. We also wanted to extend a vote of thanks to the Select Committee for having us here today and for deliberating on the contents of the presentation, as well as approving the protocol. We appreciate that, and we are always hoping that in our line of work, what we do is to advance the economic growth and development of South Africa, and I believe that this is an important instrument towards that end. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On the issue that we ventured into with Honorable Mkhono and intended to take us a little outside, we will consult amongst ourselves and then you will hear from our secretary if we might need some specific discussion on it. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Just a moment, sorry. I have been advised that we did organize a bit of finger lunch, but then it will be ready by 12. Can you hang on around or is too much for you? Oh, thank you.
I was only complaining this morning. They give me 4 minutes. Okay.
Good morning. I think members are aware that yesterday we couldn't sit as the committee because of the plenum that started early. We couldn't do justice to what we wanted to do in an hour's time. So I've requested to have this few minutes with you members so that we can look at the minutes. I'm not sure whether you do have minutes with you. You do?
No, I don't have.
You don't have?
No.
So you are unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a member. It's okay.
If we can look at the minutes, that we adopt the minutes, and then we take a quick look at the program for the third quarter.
You two can shake. You shake.
Yeah, the minutes of the 20th of May.
Yeah.
Let's start with the one for 20th May. Mr. Zubia.
Yeah.
Honorable Zubia, you were the acting chairperson.
Yes.
Apologies. I wasn't around. Ms. Chen, Mr. Gladys. Okay, can we look at the contents of the minutes? Do we agree with the minutes? Can we have somebody to move? Okay, Honorable.
Yes, Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Chen, second. Okay, can we go to the minutes of the 27th of June? I forgot to welcome Mr. Mkhono. You know, so nice seeing him amongst ourselves after such a long study leave. Hope he did well. Okay, the 27th May. Okay, page one, let's do this. Page one,
agreed.
Page two,
agreed.
Page three,
agreed.
And then page four, okay.
Yes.
All right, any more? Honorable Sibiya, seconded by Honorable Ndembe. Okay, then the minutes for the 3rd of June.
Yeah.
Page 1. We're looking at corrections and whatever.
No. Okay.
Page 1.
Agreed.
Page 2.
Okay.
Agreed.
Page 3.
Agreed, sir.
Agreed.
Okay.
And page 4.
Merci.
Move on. Another one. Seconded by. And then we've got the possible program, proposed program seems to be discussed for the third term. We've got on labor, we've got National Skills Development Amendment Bill. Then we'll be looking at the construction, we intend looking at the construction, theater and energy system crisis, Umsobomvu Youth Fund. And then NEDLAC, skills transference, affirmative action, and employment equity in the workplace. That's labor. Are there any additions or maybe something that we think that it's not necessary for us to deal with? Honorable Kungutu?
Chairperson, last time we had a meeting with the Umsobomvu Youth Fund, of which I think there was some serious concern around them, around the allocation made by Treasury to this fund. I think in that meeting, Chair, if we can call both Treasury and Umsobomvu so that they can clarify actually the misunderstanding between the two of them.
Okay.
Thanks.
So Umsobomvu and Treasury.
I'm not disagreeing. Wouldn't it be okay to give an ear to Treasury alone also first?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because you see, when these ones were talking, there was no one immediately to reply. So I think for the sake of leveling the graph, yeah, it would be good for us to have the department also, and then when we get in with both. We requested you to come together because from the fund, at the fund side, 2, 3, 4 issues were raised. From the treasury side, 5, 6 issues were raised, and they both respond.
No. Okay, that's okay. I think we all agree.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on labor? Okay, silence means. Then we look at public enterprises. The progress report by ESCOM on the electrification of rural areas per province. Progress report on solar power station in Upington. SAA readiness for 2010. Site visit to Alexco, Richard's first community beneficiation. Remember, we were supposed to take it last time.
Yeah.
But are we only looking, I think we can't only look at oversight to Alexco. Remember, we were preparing to also to go to SAA.
Yeah.
Dinel. Yeah, Dinel. So we must we add?
Yes.
Okay, Dinel, Transnet.
SAA.
Transnet, SAA.
Yes.
Okay. Then, any other addition? Okay,
yeah.
Communications. Because also bearing in mind that we will be having a short term, yeah. Communications driven by Centec on how they will be spending the $500 million allocated by National Treasury for broadband expansion.
Okay.
Agreed.
Driven
by Newtel in depth discussion with regard to operations, provincial access. USASA, annual report and successes and challenges. briefing by SABC and other telecommunication providers on readiness for 2010. As I think we will have to, Sharon will have to actually put in writing with others. We mustn't just say others. We must be specific, because if we say others, it doesn't.
It will generalize.
Yeah, so we must. She's writing today, and I forgot to apologize for her.
Okay. I don't know, it might be due to not being very clear. If I were to say within the SABC people, if possible, can we have someone who might also be coming with the information that can link us to this the Jordan people in the Ivins, who are the, I don't know what are they. Because you see, The 2010 part of it is a special project. LOC. Yeah, I mean, as an entity, they may have a lot of things they are ready, but we need also to have some inroads into that, those very ones. How do they link what they are doing here? Is it having a good upliftment there? I don't know, perhaps because I don't know how they link or differ. So we need also to, we just make it known to them that we prefer also the way in which SABC currently in the context of those people, what issues is it involved in, what role does it play, how far is it go? I don't know how to put it, because I'm not clear the link is of problems.
Much as I would have loved to, but I'm not in a position to. I think all I can say is that it would be really a good idea. But my understanding is that they are accountable to the Department of what?
Okay.
So maybe we would ask the relevant stakeholders that are attached to us, maybe to give us a privileged information from that.
It makes sense.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't want to say that. I wanted you to say
that. Yeah, no,
so you see, we sports is accountable to us, and then, I mean, not sports, SABC, but sports to the committee of Mr. Honorable Tolo. Maybe if we as the committee can meet with the sports committee and say we invite the SABC, they invite sports.
That would be very brilliant. Because we need to get to know the what call one IOC, the LOC people. We don't want to depend on the radio and the television.
So
only.
We can propose a meeting together. I'll talk to the chairperson.
Please.
To say together we meet as the committees. Then we invite SABC, they invite us. But
very good.
And there's a, you know, there's a, another thing that is a proposed oversight visit to SAFCOL by the portfolio committee. SAFCOL. But I was thinking that even us as the select committee, if we can join them, I haven't spoken to the chairperson as well, but I was of a view that we can also take that opportunity, then we go with them to SAFCOL. We're going to go to Sabi, Graskop, it's on the 23rd. I'm going to talk to the chairperson today, and then we start making our application. If it gets approved, then we will join them. And I'll be really very happy if the members can avail themselves. We had the autumn school, we couldn't attend it, so we were busy here. But if maybe we can, let us all go. The 23rd, I think, is on Monday, and then coming back on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, then we can really come, because Tuesday is our meeting day.
That would be good.
Yeah,
try it.
I'll try it, thank you.
I support that fully, but
let me also raise my concern around this issue. You know, what I've picked up over time is that whenever we have these joint programs with NA, NA tends to overshadow.
Yeah, they do need to say so.
Yeah,
that is correct.
And sometimes you feel, no, we're not really taken seriously. For someone, there's that unnecessary tension that is being created by people who decide to be insensitive, you know. I mean, I don't know how many times we've brought this to their attention, but they continue practicing as if nothing has been said or something like that. So I'm saying I support this thing in principle, but I have that concern when we have joint things with them.
I don't know, but I don't think I do experience that myself. I'm not quite sure. I don't, because when we have the joint meetings, we do co-chairs, and if we're going to agree on going, we're going to agree that where we arrive, then we do things equally, and maybe I'll request members also to be, you know, to also, you must also be assertive if you are in those you mustn't feel that you are, you must be assertive and stand on your feet to say we are also a committee. I'm open and I'm honest. I don't feel that way. I really don't feel that way. Honorable
Mkhono. Sir, I think let us take note of what Honorable Mkhono has said, so that in future, perhaps if we notice such behavior, and then we can talk about it. But for now, let us note it.
Yes.
Because it's something that he has noticed.
I'm saying I do agree. I'm saying myself, I haven't felt that way. So I'm saying to members, you must also feel that you are equal. That's all. We're noting it, but I'm saying to members, please be assertive. If you see that things are not, we must open our mouth, you know, and speak to correct it.
Immediately.
Yes, immediately. Because
it's
signal, I know.
Yeah, Chair, perhaps it would be useful. I think I did come across tendencies of insensitivity, as Honorable Mkhono is saying. I'm sorry to say this. Even in these study groups, I told our previous chairperson that...
Can I request a PMG to leave us now? I think now we are talking. We have done. We are finished with the committee business. Can you excuse us, please? Yeah, we are busy with our in-house issues, and I believe that what was said, you haven't.
Yes.
Head, and you haven't
noted. What is
it?
you must disconnect it.
If you have noted it, scratch it. Take it. Thanks. And your Nandipa, I hope your thing is also.
You must disconnect it, otherwise.
Is this specifically disconnected?
Yeah, just pull the.
Because we. You must
delete. Jeez, bro. I'm not sure if it's on stock or not. Were you recording?
So it's a private item. We hope that whatever you have recorded will be deleted. Scratch that.
Do you